This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
A sheriff executes a judge in broad daylight. That's what took place. That alone is, you know, pretty shocking. It's something that doesn't really happen, like, I don't know, ever. It's made a lot of headlines, but when you start peeling back the layers, what you find isn't just a murder, it's a scandal waiting to explode. Maybe some explanation there as to why this sheriff acted the way he did. But what is the motivation? The man Steins killed, Judge Kevin Mullins, had just been implicated in a federal lawsuit alleging a courthouse sex for leniency scheme. Lawsuit accused Mullins' court of functioning like a brothel, which incarcerated women being coerced into sexual acts with law enforcement officers, some inside the jury's very or the judge's very chambers. 3 days before the shooting, Steins was deposed in that very case. So now the question isn't just whether Steins snapped, it's why. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, joining us to discuss the new elements of this case. The extreme emotional disturbance argument that was initially what was talked about, now we're going flat out to full insanity. Is this going to hold up with the potential underlying motives that aren't being openly talked about yet? Could Steins' actions be linked to the courthouse scandal? And if so, could that complicate this whole mental health defense that they're talking about?
I think it absolutely could compromise that defense because, you know, part of an insanity defense is saying, I didn't know right from wrong. But what it seems like is that Sheriff Steins knew something very wrong was happening, and he took what he thought was righteous action in order to stop that. That's kind of the definition of knowing right and wrong, at least in one's own mind. And then this extreme emotional disturbance thing, that's kind of gone by the wayside. That's usually not its own defense. And courts often don't even allow that in terms of trying to disprove charges. And so I think defense is going to have some problems with this one.
You know, a lot of people are looking at this as, you know, I think we want to believe there's a hero in a case that involves accusations of sexual assault. You want to believe somebody's did something for the right reasons. I mean, it's never right to just go shoot somebody. But, you know, one could see it being justified, especially with a phone call, especially with his daughters being called right before this occurred. That is all such weird elements of this case. And we just don't know the answer to those questions as of yet. But could this be, you know, not so up and up where maybe he's not the hero that everybody kind of wants him to be? He was pretty tight with the judge. He did do that deposition just days before. There could be a very real chance that he's implicated in the charges against the judge that were out there, that he had something to do with it. I mean, we're talking about his deputy that is accused of the assault in the chambers, and that he didn't discipline, didn't train properly, didn't monitor this situation enough and allowed it basically to happen on his watch. It makes me wonder if there's something here where did he kill the judge because the judge was going to expose him further?
You know, there is some ominous revelations that are coming out, and they're all allegations. This case is very early on, and we don't know exactly what occurred. But if this judge was involved in some sort of sex for leniency prospect, and the sheriff also had some involvement, certainly that is damning information no one would want the public to receive. And it's not unprecedented for an affiliate or someone involved in some web like what could have been going on to try to silence other folks so that they're protecting, you know, their own butt.
I mean, these are two completely separate cases, at least they were until all of this went down. There was the case that was pointing at the judge, but Steins is part of it. And then there's this, which happened and started 3 days after that deposition. Are we going to see things merge here together? Are we going to see the federal case where they're looking at the judge? I mean, is there discovery to be found over there that could help understand or explain what happened? Or are these two really still separate entities that don't have a lot to do with one another? Or would we ever find out? Because we're talking about court cases, filings, things that are going to be under seal and such.
In the criminal context, there's a concept called res gestae. And essentially what it means is that, generally speaking, the jury is entitled to hear the background, the context, if it helps inform their understanding of the specific allegations. And so I think surely this outside information that may have contributed to the alleged crime is relevant. I think a jury is going to hear about it. And I think that the cases are going to pick from one another in terms of getting helpful information from the civil side, bringing on witnesses from the criminal side into the civil case. Those things are going to begin to mesh, in my opinion.
Insanity being the new thing that's being brought up here. I mean, we don't know if that will be allowed into court to be argued. The prosecution is conducting their own psychiatric evaluation. What are they going to need to prove in order to bring that into court?
Really, a pillar of insanity is that the defendant could not tell right from wrong due to some mental disease or defect. So that predicate mental health piece has to be established, and it's established through those evaluations you just mentioned. Now, usually what happens is the prosecutor does an evaluation and says, this guy is fine. There's no mental health disease or there's no mental disease or defect. Then the defense does their own, and the defense expert says, oh, yes, there is. And then usually that is enough to meet the threshold, so long as you have one expert saying there is a mental disease or defect that contributed to the person's inability to understand right from wrong.
Would you have to show a pattern of that to be valid, that there was other issues in the past, not just suddenly out of nowhere he snaps and kills this guy? I mean, if you're truly, you know, insane, if you have, you know, if you're suffering from, you know, if you're a psychopath, if you're a sociopath, that's not just something like boom, it comes on. It's there for a long period of time. Is that going to be a really hard one to argue, you think?
I think so. Something you're touching on is this sort of colloquial notion of temporary insanity. And I get so many clients who come to me and they're like, hey, what about temporary insanity? That's not really a thing. No. in most courts. Usually with insanity, like you said, there has to be some buildup. There has to be some psychological vulnerability to completely snapping and losing your cool. It's usually not just someone who has been reasonably fine, psychologically intact for their entire lives. Then something bad happens and they act out. That's not a defense, and that's not insanity.
No, it's not. Let's play the other side of this, though. What if he did find out something really horrible and shocking? Let's say that there is a lot of legitimacy to the accusations about the judge's chambers basically being used as a brothel. And, you know, the sheriff's like shocked by this. Again, as close as they were, I don't know how he would be shocked by this, but let's say he's shocked by this. And let's say he finds out in some way, shape, or form his daughter or a friend or somebody close to him, young, has been victimized by this said brothel. If you're a parent and you're getting that information and you have a weapon on you and the person who's alleged to be doing these things, or you find out that, you know, maybe they are, one could understand. One would pull a weapon and shoot the other. Is that insanity? Or is that, you know, what would that be looked at if in fact it goes that way?
Yes, so it's still within the mental health realm, but it's likely not insanity. It's much more likely what's called heat of passion. And so heat of passion is usually when a person receives such overly distressing information that a reasonable person could not have contained themselves, that they would have it would have been irresistible impulse for them to act out. That's more heat of passion. The thing about heat of passion, though, is it's not a complete defense. It doesn't result in a person being found not guilty. It can lessen the severity of the charge, lessen the severity of the penalty, but it's not a complete out for Sheriff Steins.
Does Steins' willingness to surrender in this case, like right after it happened, he just walks out, puts a gun down, arrest me. That doesn't seem to me, at least, and I'm not a psychologist, but it doesn't seem to be how an insane person would be functioning. If you're out of control and you're just, you shot him, and you would think you'd be running, not like, well, here you go, I'm done. Or maybe that is insane. Maybe it is insane to go, here, take me.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I would expect perhaps someone who was actually insane to, like, you know, run out and rip off all their clothes and saying aliens are eating my brain or something like that.
Yeah.
But when we have with the action that Sheriff Stein took, it seemed like he kind of knows what he did. He knows at least the legal wrongfulness of his alleged conduct, and he's willing to kind of surrender to that, in part because he's in law enforcement and is taught to be cooperative in that context. And so that seems a lot more like someone who knows what they were doing and is going through the motions that they kind of expect to be going through after that.
I'm just going to throw this out there because we've seen it in other cases where there's a member of law enforcement that is in question, and there's obviously more than one person in law enforcement in a community, at least in most. And there certainly is here, albeit a small community. If there's others that were involved in this alleged, you know, brothel thing that's going on, you know, we already have the, you know, one of the people under the sheriff here that's, you know, been, you know, taken away for it. One might think there might be more people involved. Who's investigating this? Who's looking into this? Because if you start digging into the evidence and you start looking at discovery and you start looking at the text messages and the phone calls and the communications in general over all of this stuff, there might be some people who don't want their name intermingled with it that have nothing to do with the murder, but more so over here on the sex side. I would be a little bit concerned about getting, you know, the full picture of evidence in this, if there's other names that you know, I don't want to be mixed up in this, even though I am, because you just kind of be exposed by default, would you not?
Yeah, Tony, that is a very real concern. You know, look, the sheriff's office for which Sheriff Steins works should not be investigating itself. That there's just too much of a likelihood of bias in favor of the suspect with whom they work. They know them. They might have, like, gone to dinner with their family, stuff like that. And so usually what happens is an outside law enforcement entity should be appointed to do the investigation. An entity that is impartial, that is unbiased, that doesn't know Sheriff Steins. And that has less of a likelihood of, you know, compromising the investigation and giving someone favor when they shouldn't. And so that is what should happen. And in fact, a special prosecutor outside of the jurisdiction should also be assigned to oversee that investigation.
And I know we have that. I know there's a special prosecutor. I know there's a judge that's going to be seeing this from out of the jurisdiction. It's just that and I don't know the answer to that. So I'm not accusing anyone of that. It's just something that comes to mind when we see a case like this, because we've seen other law enforcement agencies cover up for themselves, that people have nothing to do with the case. They just don't want their names getting out there and their skeletons to come out of the closet, which would inevitably be when you shake the snow globe around, there they go too. I don't know. It makes me wonder. I'm not accusing anyone, but it's certainly something that I think an eye should be placed on when we see what comes out here. Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot that is going to be revealed in this community that not a lot of people are going to want to face or accept, really.
Want true crime coverage all day? Every day, press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed.